This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. You want to keep talking college football? Now is a wonderful opportunity to do it for you. I don't know why that just happened. Renewal by Interstate of the Carolinas fan phone, 844-326-3663.
Do I need to call somebody?
I don't know, dude.
This continues.
I don't know what that was.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I got caught up on a word, and then I tried to go to the next word, but the first word wouldn't get out of the way, so then I just turned into, like, a cartoon Scandinavian for some reason for just a second. I can't explain it.
Well, you turned into Bjorn. Well, I'm going to go with Bjorn. So in my mind, anytime you do that, you are now Bjorn.
Everything is music. Classic Saturday Night Live. All right, if you want to keep talking about it, 71307, 71307, start your text with Fan, F-A-N. We'll read them on the air. Fan, F-A-N. You can tweet at the Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo One Word, or at the Fan Upstate. And again, the Ray Memorial Hotline, which, after we speak with John Blau coming up here in the next segment, we'll get his thoughts on the ACC Championship game. Got to say hello to John in person at the game on Saturday night. After we talk to John Blau, we will open up the 9 o'clock hour with some takes off of the Ray Memorial Hotline. So, if you've been steaming up a big hot take, now's the time to drop it on the Ray Memorial Hotline. Go to the Odyssey app, go to the Fan Upstate page, click on the circle button with the microphone in it, and leave us that 30 to 60 second voice message. I will be screening them during the next two breaks. So if you've wanted to get your take on the radio, now's your time to do it with the Ray Memorial Hotline. Go to the Odyssey app, the Fan Upstate page, click on the circle button with a microphone in it, and drop that voice note now. I will be screening them over the next two breaks, and we will play them in the 9 o'clock hour opener. Text said, Rob, the committee got it right, in my opinion. I think the Buckeyes should have been sixth. I think Texas and Penn State should have been seventh and eighth. Notre Dame and the Ohio State University should have been five and six, but Bama doesn't deserve to be in it this year. That's from Buckeye Mike. Mike, appreciate that text. More importantly, thanks for letting Lonzo know he's not alone.
I know I'm not alone. I'm also surrounded by Michigan people, too. It's the law. We moved this way. That's what you do.
It's the law. Y'all have to travel in packs.
Well, after you make it through a certain amount of lifetime of cold, and then you move south. Some people go all the way south down to your neck of the
woods. Do they kick y'all out of Ohio? Is there like an Ohio mandate that like once you spend X amount of years in Ohio, you have to leave?
You know,
are y'all running out of room?
Do you know about the elephant graveyard? So an elephant just knows.
Like from The Lion King?
No, an elephant just knows when it's time.
Oh, yeah. Start,
so it just goes to where the graveyard is. In this case, we know when it's time. We've had too much cold, and it's time to move where there's not really that much cold. And so you just know. It's a feeling. It's not a mandate.
Okay. I didn't know if there was like a...
It's not even an unwritten rule. It's just a feeling. So it hits people at different times.
I didn't know if there was like government, like governor's legislation that's like, once you're here 15 years, you have to go somewhere else.
Not that I'm aware of.
Or if there's like some vast conspiracy where y'all and Michiganders are just trying to make America Midwest again.
Except with warmth. Yeah.
Spartanburg. Jay says, morning, guys. Glad Clemson is in. I got Oregon versus Georgia for the Natty. So happy for Bama. Texas said, holding Indiana's schedule against them because Washington and Michigan crapped the bed a year after playing for the championship seems wrong, too. Yeah, and I guess that's kind of part of what I'm talking about here. Kind of part of the conversation for me is, you know, there's all this talk about strength of schedule, and strength of schedule matters, but this is also the reason that, much like rankings, I'm not super big on knocking down strength of schedule preseason either, because we don't know. If Texas had Michigan on the schedule, Texas was glad to have Michigan on the schedule, because the majority of the games that Texas had this year in the Southeastern Conference were not the strongest teams in the Southeastern Conference. And having Michigan on that schedule kind of boosted the SOS quite a bit. Well, it turns out Michigan was lucky to get bowl eligible, right? Like, lucky to get there. They just weren't very good. And so in a year in which having Texas on the non-con schedule or having Michigan on the non-con schedule for Texas would have made them look fantastic, they end up with a Texas team, or with a Michigan team, that's just not very good. Same scenario with Indiana. If Washington, and again, I think we all kind of knew it was going to be a step back year for the Huskies, right? Like, not just Michael Penix Jr. leaving, but Michael Penix Jr. leaving, Kalen DeBoer leaving, Roma Dunze leaving. Like, they got hammered by attrition this offseason. And so we knew Washington was going to take a step back, but we didn't think they'd be bad. So Indiana is getting beat up for that. How do we take into consideration strength of schedule for these teams without punishing teams that have what looks to be a pretty good preseason strength of schedule, but then watch maybe a handful of teams that were supposed to be certified G's and bona fide studs, and you can't teach that, on their schedule that aren't very good? How do we reward teams that maybe at the beginning of the year, their schedule doesn't look all that impressive, but then all of the sudden, one of the mid teams on it jumps up and turns into a contender, right? Ohio State should be getting strength of schedule credit for Indiana being on the schedule this year, but not Michigan.
Well, and Penn State, too.
And Penn State.
Yeah.
Penn State should be getting credit,
Oregon,
because they're the only team that had
Oregon
to pay every big dog.
Oregon, but it's still it's very
number one team in the country.
Yeah.
Kept it close. Was it a 3-point game for them?
I believe it was 1 point.
Yeah, 3 points for you guys, 1 point for Penn State. But you see what I'm saying? Like, because all of these metrics are indeed subjective, it is about finding a way to give credit to teams for the SOS, but also giving credit to teams who win, because winning's not easy to do. Buckeye Mike says, I still think the conference champs should get the 4 byes. If you want to keep conference championships relevant, that's how you do it, right? If you want to keep conference championships relevant, because I'll tell you, based on what I was seeing, you know, I beat up Clemson fans back in the first hour about the fact that the stat sheet says there were 50,000 people in the building last night. I was in the building last night. There were not 50,000 people in the building last night. Sorry, Saturday, not last night. But you weren't, for the record, you weren't alone. Now, granted, little bit different scenario in the Big Ten, where you had Oregon, who is from Oregon, and you had Penn State, who is from Penn, meeting in Indianapolis, Indiana, which is a very long distance from both Oregon and Penn. You could buy Big Ten championship tickets an hour before kickoff for $12. The conference championship games already mean less. They just inherently do. And you can see that just in attendance and price. I'm going to say, Southeastern Conference fans get a lot of crap about this. Their fans showed up. Now, Lonzo, did you watch any of the SEC title game? I didn't. I was in the car, so I didn't get to watch any of it.
Well, I was on the way back from doing a show, and I watched the ACC title.
So the SEC game was at 4 in the afternoon. I was driving.
Oh, I thought you said ACC. No, I didn't know you said SEC.
The SEC title game.
Yeah, I watched some of it, yes.
Did it look like the attendance was better? I have to imagine it did.
I didn't really pay attention to attendance because the little bit I watched was on my phone.
Fair enough. Okay.
And it's really small, and I didn't have my glasses on.
These things don't seem to matter to the fans anymore anyway. They just don't.
I'm trying to think if another team would have been in it, if a bigger team. But that doesn't work with ACC because Clemson was there, and it's not that far of a drive, and you would have. I thought Clemson would show up.
I did too. And again, the ones that were there were very loud. Clearly, they were the ones that were the most passionate. They were very loud. But if there was more than 42,000 people in that stadium Saturday night, there wasn't more than 42,000 people in that stadium Saturday night. They already don't matter. So is that a way to make them matter again, make them matter more? Again, they're not going to get rid of them because that's a big paycheck day for the conferences. That's why they go out all out on these things. It's a paycheck day for the conferences themselves. And they don't want this to become irrelevant because that's a big damn paycheck that just disappears if it does. So do we need to reward them more? Can we? I don't know. There are a lot of questions that we have to figure out. Texter said, Rob is a Clemson fan. I've been waiting to say this for a while, and apologies for the foul language, but horns down. Lonzo, you can't do that on the stream. You get us arrested.
I just did.
Texter said, how much can Georgia fans complain about playing a conference title game when the conference title game may have ended Carson Beck? They were already in the playoffs. Now, they were competing for a bye, but they were already in. So I don't know. Texas said they claimed 74,000 were at the SEC title game. It's more likely there were 74,000 in Atlanta than there were 53,000 in Charlotte. I can promise you that. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, John Blau from the Post and Courier talks ACC title game with us next on the Rob Brown Show with the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate, Rob Lonzo and the great one. Excuse me, Rob and the great one, Lonzo. There, I'm going to get it together at some point. It's Monday.
I can be multiple people. I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Sometimes I am in my own head. Speaking of multiple people, we welcome a third member of the cast and crew of this show now to the program. He joins us every single Monday at 8:40 to talk Clemson athletics. And just like that, a walk-off field goal means the proverbial golfer has seen his proverbial shadow, and we get at least two more weeks of Clemson football as the Tigers.
Man. What do you mean?
Oh,
golfer?
That's right. I got Minnesota on the brain from earlier.
You do, and you can't get rid of the accent.
I can't shake it.
Someone help him. John, please help him.
The Clemson Tigers win the ACC championship and are headed to the college football playoffs to break it down with us from the Post and Courier, where he covers the Clemson athletic department. John Blau joins us on the show. Good morning, John. Happy Monday, buddy. How was a very long Sunday of content creation for you?
It was good. I got home at 4 in the morning from Charlotte the day before, and then wrote some more stuff. Yeah, about Clemson playing Texas and their season living on. So, yeah, it's been pretty good.
We are going to get into that game here in just a minute. We got a couple of weeks to break it down as we await December 21st, 4 p.m., when that game kicks off at Austin, Texas, John Blau. But let's take it back to Saturday night and talk a little bit about this game. Clemson was on the forefront all game long until they let SMU put 17 up in the fourth quarter and tie the game with less than a half a minute left to go. What was the difference, in your opinion, from the first three quarters to the fourth?
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of inexplicable. The first, you know, couple of quarters, it kind of followed the formula that teams have had in terms of having success against SMU. If you look at the BYU game, that they lost. And if you look at the Duke game, that was a one-point win for SMU. They turned the ball over. And so Clemson got them to turn the ball over. They were able to make, obviously off that strip sack by T.J. Parker, a very quick drive for a touchdown. Antonio Williams, I guess this actually wasn't a turnover, just a mistake. Obviously, the roughing, unnecessary roughness on him on that punt. You only have to go about 28 yards for a touchdown. So they're up real quick, 14-0, got on them. And obviously, they're able to build that lead, kind of sustain it through three quarters, and then just in the fourth quarter, for whatever reason, just defensively start having lapses again. Obviously, Kevin Jennings is a great player. He can make some plays with his legs, with his arm. They have some playmakers, and they just kind of started to feel themselves, gain a little confidence, a little momentum, and they're able to tie it up. And obviously, you've seen Clemson all season. They found ways to lose games, really big games. So you wondered if this was kind of the same deal for Clemson, but they find a way. I mean, Adam Randall with a great kick return, and then one pass, and then one really long 56-yard kick, which is the longest in ACC history. So they found a way to win a game, almost found a way to lose it, but all you need is to just be ahead by 3 points and win the game, and you're at the playoffs. So that's what they did.
Yeah, John, we got a text on the text line that says inexplicable. But it's Clemson, and that it kind of felt like that, right? I made my way, John, down to the field for the final five of that game, and when SMU went on that drive and got down, and I could almost hear the wind from the sigh of relief when SMU decided to kick the extra point and not go for two in that moment. It kind of had that vibe of this is what Clemson has done the last couple of years. The South Carolina game was only 7 days old. Similar situation with letting Lenore stride the length of the field last weekend, or should say the weekend before that. It did kind of have that vibe, but does that not kind of give you a little confidence if you are a Clemson fan that, yeah, you gave up the touchdown and the XP that tied it, but you had a great kick return, you had a great throw from Cade Klubnik, and Hoosier goes out there and knocks through the 56-yarder. Like, it did kind of also feel like maybe this is a team that had to take a couple of late punches through the throat to learn how to close out a game, which in the playoffs, if you're going to do anything, will be demanded of you.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like every single game they've lost, because again, there was that Pittsburgh game where kind of very similar. You allow Pitt to come back to get ahead, and you need a 50-yard touchdown from Cade Klubnik to win it. And so they've done this before. It's kind of hit or miss in terms of whether it's going to be you collapse or you eventually prevail. So yeah, obviously you're going to face a lot of adversity. You got to be resilient if you're playing in the playoff. You're going to play a Texas team that was number one in the country for a chunk of the season, obviously lost twice to Georgia, the team that Clemson lost to. And that's why they're where they're at and playing in the first round. But very talented team, one of the better defenses that are probably going to play all year. And so, yeah, you need that confidence that in that moment you can do just enough to kind of go out and win the game. And I think we've heard that from Cade Klubnik throughout the year, just that they have that confidence. Again, that Pitt game really gave them that confidence. He had that confidence in the final drive against South Carolina that they're going to win the game until he throws a ball behind Phil Maffa and it's picked off. So there's definitely that confidence. I think they built that throughout the year. But, at the same time, you have to wonder if there's some sighs of relief as well that they're able to get that field goal, because, again, there have been moments where they've not been able to come through in the final moments.
John Blau from the Post and Courier joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Does so every Monday at 8:40 to talk Clemson Tiger athletics. I know we got a couple of weeks out, John, but if I asked you as we get prepped for a road trip down to Austin, Texas to take on the Horns, what from Saturday night's game maybe stood out as something you'd like to see them grow on? What from Saturday night's game will need to change before you go take on Quinn Ewers and the Horns?
The running game, which I don't know if it's going to change. I mean, that's the question mark. Just Phil Maffa being banged up, he's got a shoulder injury, so you got this big 230-pound running back that likes to run physical and just not quite able to obviously throw his weight into people as easily right now because he's dealing with that shoulder. To only get 64 yards rushing, I think that was probably part of why it was hard for Clemson to really salt that game away, because they weren't able to just easily, you know, move the chains on the ground. They had to go to the air. It's kind of hit or miss there. Klubnik even missed Wesco for one pass. It probably could have been like a 80-yard touchdown. That's going to be something to watch, whether 1 week is enough, 1 week off is enough for Phil Moffa to kind of heal up enough, or if it's going to be a lingering issue, because obviously Jay Haynes was hurt as well during the game. We're not clear if he's out for the year or not. So I think that running game for Clemson has to take a step forward, or they're going to have an issue in terms of being able to sustain drives against a team like Texas.
I was hanging out pregame with a couple of Clemson guys, John Blau, and we got into the conversation about Phil Moffa. And I know he's been brought up a number of times of, you know, is he hurt? How hurt is he? How banged up is he, et cetera? There were some spots where, you know, Phil looked like he maybe didn't have the same burst that we were kind of used to earlier in the season. And then you had Jay to that conversation as well. Is there a lingering issue with injuries to the running back field that could create a problem? Is there depth there that maybe Clemson hasn't utilized yet, hasn't had to, or are they a little thin at that spot? Because it does feel like that would be a big problem.
Yeah, I mean, they are a little thin there. I mean, that's the reason why Phil Moffa has been the guy. You know, I think Dabo Sweeney was asked about the load that Moffa's carried all year. He said, heavy is the crown. You know, Mo Moffa, Mo better. Because he's the guy that they really, really trust the most. And not just as a runner, I think in pass protection, he's the guy they trust the most to kind of help out there. And so, you know, obviously Jay Haynes is a guy who made some big plays against the Citadel, and he's a guy who has some explosiveness. But his issue last year was staying healthy, and now all of a sudden he suffers an injury. We're kind of waiting. I think Dabo Sweeney said yesterday that he's waiting on an MRI, so he wasn't ready to say exactly kind of what Jay Haynes' situation was, but that could be, it looked like a pretty bad injury. He might be out for the year. And then, you know, Keith Adams Jr. is a guy they've used a little bit, but not a ton. And then the one guy, if you're talking about guys they haven't used yet, is David Iziomume. I have a hard time saying that. Iziomume is a guy that is a true freshman. They redshirted. Obviously, he's good to go now because they've gotten out of the regular season. He played less than four games. But he's a guy who muffed that kick return during the game. So obviously a guy's still really adjusting to playing at this level. Not sure what he would look like if you put him in the backfield against Texas, at Texas in the CFP, what that would be like. So that is a potential option, but it's kind of an unknown. And, yeah, I mean, Moffa is the guy they trust the most. If he's healthy enough, they're going to play him. But what level he's at exactly is not totally clear.
John Blau from the Post and Courier. Last one for you, John. And then obviously next week we'll spend quite a bit of time setting up that game against the Longhorns. But outside looking in between here and there, just your overall 30,000-foot view impression of what this game looks like, obviously factoring you got to go on the road. The Longhorns fans are fired up. They're obviously buzzing after losing the SEC championship game. If I ask you for a way too early preview right now, just your initial thoughts on round one playoff game number one for the Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, SEC matchup, you lost your two SEC games this year. Again, the team that you lost to is the team that beat them twice, but obviously in a very close SEC title game. So this is a very good Texas team, obviously a very familiar face in the secondary, and Andrew Makuba, the safety from Clemson that transferred over there last offseason. I think Steve Sarkisian was saying that his players, as soon as Clemson popped up, they were all calling this the Makuba Bowl. So obviously a little bit of intrigue there, a lot of intrigue with Clemson having these guys from Texas. Obviously, Kate Klubnik from Texas played against Quinn Ewers in high school for a state title game, and Kate actually usually got the better of those matchups. So a lot of intriguing storylines going into the game, but obviously, again, the overarching theme, very good football team from the SEC. Clemson has not been able to beat very good teams from the SEC. So they would obviously have to reverse that trend if they want to keep playing in this playoff.
John Blau covers the Clemson Tiger Athletic Department for the Post and Courier, joins us every Monday at 8:40 a.m. John, great to see you Saturday night, buddy. Awesome work as always. We will talk to you next week, pal.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Rob.
You got it. John Blau from the Post and Courier. You can follow him on X at John, J-O-N underscore B-L-A-U. John Blau is the best. We appreciate his time. When we come back, we take a listen to some of your notes on the Ray Memorial Hotline. If you want to get one in, now's a great time to do it. Go to the Odyssey app, the Fan Upstate page. Click on that little circle with the microphone in it. And leave your 30 to 60 second note. I'm going to go pull a couple of them during the break. We will check out what you have to say on the Ray Memorial Hotline next. That's after Lonzo says what he has to say in this Sports Flash.
And yes, I'm going to start every Sports Flash with Kansas City because I can't. Kansas City Chiefs clinched the AFC West last night as they beat the LA Chargers with a doink field goal off the left upright. 19-17, Patrick Mahomes went 24 of 37 for 210 yards and a touchdown. Chiefs improved to 12-1 on the season and have won the AFC West for the ninth year in a row. With a walk-off win in the ACC Championship game, the Clemson Tigers officially made the college football playoff bracket. The 12th-seeded Tigers will travel to Austin and take on the number 5-seed Texas Longhorns, with the winner getting number 4 Arizona State. In the second round, Ohio State will host Tennessee, with number 1 Oregon waiting for the winner. ACC runner-ups SMU will travel to Penn State, with the winner taking on Boise State. And Notre Dame will host in-state rival Indiana, with the winner getting number 2 Georgia. The playoffs start December 20th.